Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, outside. Live, what, Santa Monica here?
Yeah, we're in Santa Monica, man. JW Marriott.
Yeah, chilling. Man. You're listening to a brand new episode of Gamer Tag Radio. And Paris, today we got to play
Outer World. Outer Worlds. It's so confused because there's also the Outer Wilds. That's the other game.
That's the other game.
The other dude said it. Yeah.
That's the other game, too. Yeah. First of all, shout out to the whole team, PR team and Obsidian, that invited us to check out the game. And I went in blind, not knowing anything about the game. I only know what they showed us at E3, the trailer of the game, and that's the only thing I knew about it. So what about you? You had an idea of what we were going to play?
I knew of it, and then I did my research before we came out here because I knew it was Obsidian that was making it, and I knew it was this RPG they were making. So my instant thought was Fallout New Vegas, because that's probably the best RPG. It's one of the best RPGs ever made, number one. Best one Obsidian's done themselves. And I kept thinking, all right, let's get hands-on with it and see what it's like. And like I even say in the interview, to me, this is a spiritual successor to Fallout New Vegas. A lot of the same mechanics are there, but they're being expanded upon. They're being refined. You can see that this world, there's going to be endless possibilities with choices and just the RPG mechanics of it, as far as the skills and the perks and just the dialogue choice, just everything that goes into it. I was very happy with what I saw. Very happy.
Yeah, it was we played a lot. We can't talk about the first part of the game, the first session, but the second session, that's when we really had the freedom to do whatever we want. We could go to any location. Did you, because what I did, I started talking to my companions and both of them to see, because sometimes when you have people with you, you get to know them, and then it was like, they'll mention like, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you do this for me or so on? So one of my companions mentioned that.
Yeah.
And I did a couple quests because she mentioned it. Did you do the same thing, or you went to like a town? Like, how was your experience?
Yeah, I just went into a town and I just started walking around and went into like a random bar. And I just went in like this back room, and there was this lady there, Catherine. And I started talking to her, and through the dialogue, I wind up getting a quest out of her, and she basically sent me on a contract to go kill somebody. And that's what I went and did. And that was cool, because even during that, because it was a pig farmer, and when I got into his base, got to him, I was trying to not kill him. I was trying to give him the options, like, hey, man, hey, how about you and Catherine work it out,
And
he was like, nope. I was like, well, then you know what? You got to go. So I took him out, and then I was head back, and we had to end the session before I actually got back to Catherine to see what her response was going to be. Mm-hmm. But I completed basically the contract.
I know you mentioned Fallout New Vegas.
Yes.
I find this way faster pace compared to Fallout New Vegas. Do you feel the same way?
It's been a few years since I played, so I can't 100% say that, but I get what you mean. I felt like the first-person shooting felt really good in it. Even the melee felt really good in it. But, again, they have their own version of the VAT system. It's what it's called TTD. And this a time something. I'll butcher it.
It's in the interview.
You'll hear it in the interview.
Yeah, yeah.
But, it was good. I mean, it felt good. But, yeah, I could definitely see it was a little more faster pace. And there's, again, you're going to these different worlds. There's going to be towns and stuff. There's going to be a lot to explore.
What was your primary weapon that you were using a lot?
Honestly, I was using the pistol a lot because that had the most ammo. I had that chain gun, but I kept running out of ammo in that. It wasn't a sniper, but it was kind of more of a mid-range. I don't know if you can call it a scout rifle, whatever it was. I had that as well. I would use that a little bit too. But then the sword, as far as melee goes.
Sword, yeah.
But the sword I had, it seemed like it had some kind of mod on it because it was hitting them with like some kind of chemical or something.
And it was green.
Yeah, and it was green. Yeah. But again, we just got a couple hour play session. So again, you see all the modifications, the armor modifications. There's so many different things that they're going to talk about later that they weren't talking about right now that we'll be able to explore. So the main thing that they were saying out of this game is play it the way you want, be who you want, create your character however you want. So if you want to be the hero of the Outer Worlds, be the hero. You want to be the villain, be the villain. If you want to stay out of everything, stay out of everything. It's up to you what you want to do.
See, like, I had a difficult time, like, to see what choice I'm going to select during the different conversations, because sometimes I feel, like, bad. I don't know. Was it like that for you, too? I'm usually like that when I play games like Mass Effect, Fallout. I'm kind of like, I don't want to be the villain, but I feel bad. But I'm in a situation, like, I don't know what I should do. You get like
that. Well, and that was kind of the whole point of it, where I had some choices where, yeah, I was an a-hole. And then others, I'm like, I don't want to really
well, it
do
depends,
that.
Well, it depends on the person you're talking to, right?
Exactly.
If they're like an a-hole to you, you're
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know,
well, I'll be a-hole back. Yeah, it was pretty much what it was. But I don't know about you, how you spec'd out your character, but when I had perked out my character, I gave him certain, like, more intelligence, more dexterity, you know, things like that, more charisma, leadership. And I noticed that affected the dialogue options I had, where I could pick certain things. I would get XP for it, persuade people, things like that, intimidate them, all that. So, again, a lot of different choices, but your choices do matter. Depending on how you answer someone, the decision you make, there will be ramifications for it later on in the game.
Yeah, like, I was walking because I was doing a side quest with one of my companions. And I bump into, like, a group that was just there close to, like, a base that I had to go in. And they were like, look, I was trying to get them, like, to join me. Like, hey, come join me so we could work together and bum rush this place, right? Yeah. She's like, look, I could do it, but all you have to do is go to my crew. They're, like, down around this area.
Yeah.
Talk to my boss. If he says okay, I'll join in.
Yeah.
So yeah, right there, I unlock another quest. So I had to go back
right
to her base. I met with her crew. I couldn't find her boss because the boss was in a different location.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know what? Let me just go back and do it myself. I don't need her. I don't need her help. But that's the cool thing is that, you're going to unlock so many quests.
Yep.
And I just love exploring and just discovering new places. And I honestly, I know we've seen this in other games, but every time you go to a new location, you get XP. Like, you discover a new location, a new building or an area, you get XP for your character. So you got to take advantage of that, man, you know? So I like that a lot, man. I really enjoy the game. And I'm excited that this game is going to be available for Xbox Game Pass, dude. Yo, perfect game for the service.
There's going to be a lot of value in that. If you're already subscribed to Game Pass, I mean, you're getting a AAA RPG experience out of this.
And honestly, when they announced this game, was it E3 or was it before E3?
It was before E3. We knew about it before E3, but the blowout was E3, that trailer, all that stuff.
So at E3, I heard they had a presentation. This is the first time that it's actually playable at this event.
Mm,
so that's cool. Anything else from I know later on we're going to play the interview and stuff, but
Mean, you know, we do the interview. Like I said, this was a nice preview. I mean, there'll be more information coming out, you know, down the road. It launches in October. And what do you say, October 25th? Is that what he said? He says in an interview. You guys will hear it. But it's out in October. Like I said, it's on Game Pass, PC. You can get it exclusive on the Epic Store. And obviously it's on PlayStation as well. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Dude, Paris, this is perfect for you, man. You have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate.
Oh, yeah, I'm
dialing
good.
From there, you're good, man.
I mean, I'm sure we'll get it early to review or whatever, but again, just for the average person picking it up, yeah, if you subscribe to Game Pass, boom, it's ready for you. Day one, PC or Xbox.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right, so we're going to play the interview, and once we come back, final thoughts. All right, so we'll be right back after this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Hey, this is Paris. I'm here with Danny, and we're here at a preview event checking out The Outer Worlds, and I got someone here to talk about it, so can you please introduce yourself?
Sure thing. This is Matthew Singh. I'm a senior producer at Obsidian Entertainment, been working on The Outer Worlds.
Thank you for taking some time to talk to us. So I have to fully admit, I am a huge Fallout New Vegas fan. Hundreds of hours into that game, so we've had a chance to play a little bit so far. And that was my immediate thought as I'm playing this. I go, wow, this almost seems like a spiritual successor to Fallout New Vegas. Now, I know this is a completely different game. So can you please explain to people, what is The Outer Worlds? Where is it taking place? What can people expect?
Yeah, absolutely. So The Outer Worlds is it's a brand new, single player, first person sci-fi role playing game from Obsidian. And so it's set in the Halcyon Colony, which is on the furthest reaches of the galaxy. And this colony has been essentially bought and branded and run by corporations. In this world, you were actually part of a colonist ship that had been essentially never made it to the colony. And so after being in hibernation for 70 years, you're actually revived from this scientist named Dr. Phineas Wells. And he takes you out of hibernation and asks you, like, hey, I need your help to be able to revive the rest of your fellow colonists. That's just the very start of the story. And from there, you kind of get to explore multiple worlds. You get to gain companions and build your crew, get a spaceship. You get to kind of explore and interact with these different factions in the world that all kind of have their own different perspectives on what's going on here. Through that, you might also be uncovering some kind of corporate conspiracies and, you know, making your own conclusions on what you actually want to do. You talked about, you know, being a successor to Fallout, and really that's that's kind of just in the DNA of the types of games that we make, right? We have Tim and Leonard, who are the creative and game directors on the game. And, I mean, Fallout and the similarities that you see between the Fallout franchise and The Outer Worlds is really just their minds that you're seeing, right? You're seeing that kind of like silliness that comes out of Tim Kaine's mind, juxtaposed with Leonard's kind of like darkly humorous vibe that you get. And that's what really kind of sets that unique tone for what we have in The Outer Worlds and permeates a lot of our games.
What is it that makes this game different than the previous games that, that your team worked on?
Sure.
And what are the things also you learned from those and added in this game too?
Yeah. So, I mean, for us, We loved the idea of being able to create something whole cloth from scratch. So we're building this IP just from the ground up to be something unique and something that we want to be able to play in and explore a lot. And in terms of like other games that we do, like we've found that the things that our players gravitate towards are, you know, deep storylines, a really reactive world. We really want you to be able to kind of play whatever character you want. Essentially, I find that if we've done our jobs well, there's really not a bad way to play the game. And so we've kind of tried to craft a system and a storyline that really reacts to you as a player. So the choices that you're making are going to be unique to you. And you might actually get a different story or a different perspective on the world based off of the ways you play the game. And so that's something that we really tried to emphasize on, and we tried to kind of make a focus for this game.
And this is an Obsidian RPG and everything that you just talked about with characters. So I kind of want to get into the character creation because we got a chance to see that at the beginning of the game and kind of pick some skills, perks, things like that. So like you said, you get to play the game the way you want.
Right.
And that's what excites me about it. That's what gets me to play these games for hundreds of hours. So kind of talk about what's different about this time going in with your character creation and just some of the skills and the perks that people can expect.
So I think we're actually doing more unveil about character creation specifically down the road. So we won't do a huge deep dive there.
Okay.
But I will speak to some of the things that kind of play into how you can build a character that are kind of unique about this game. Mm-hmm. We actually have something that is called the flaw system. I'm not sure if you guys actually have seen that yet, but you might when you continue playing through the game.
I think he saw it.
he just racked one up. But so this is like a cool kind of unique idea that Tim Kaine had been playing around with in his mind for a long time, and we've been able to try and play with. And this is a way of the game reacting to you, and in response, you being able to kind of build your character out in different ways. So the flaw system works where, say, for instance, you've been in a lot of combats and you've been getting hit in the head like over and over again. You actually might it, like a thing will pop up and offer you, hey, would you like to take a flaw for a permanent concussion? And you're like, well, why would I want to actively take a permanent concussion? Right. That's kind of weird. And what it'll do is like, well, it might make it a little bit more difficult in terms of, you know, once you are getting those hits to the head that you might take more damage or whatever. And you'll have to account for that in your play style, but you'll also get an additional perk point for taking that. And now you can go ahead and spec out your character in another way, continue to grow it. But even in addition to that, for this example, because you've now taken a permanent concussion, you'll actually see different conversation response options in conversations. It's like you're not firing on all cylinders now, and you'll actually see that manifest in the kind of conversations that you have. Even your companions will start reacting to like, oh, geez, looks like the captain doesn't have it all upstairs, you know? And so that's like a way of the game kind of responding to you, reacting to you, and allowing you to role play and build your character through your progression of the game. And those are totally like an optional thing. You don't have to take them if you don't want to, but you can even take more of them in the higher difficulties, in the harder difficulty, in the supernova mode, which is like our kind of hardcore, you know, survivalish type mode that has you having to kind of monitor your thirst and your sleep and all of that. You'll actually be able to even take additional flaws like that if you'd like. But again, those are ways where we're trying to think of how can we, you know, iterate on role playing and be able to kind of inject that into the player playing the game and it responding to you.
A perfect setup for where I wanted to go. So we're going to talk at a later date more about some of the skills and the perks, but kind of the dialogue tree and just some of the choices that were that I was able to see while I was playing. And I won't spoil the particular quest we were on, but quest that I was playing.
Sure.
It came up where I basically kind of had a morality choice of what I wanted to do. I had really option A, B, or C of whatever I wanted to choose. And then there's obviously going to be repercussions down the road for whatever I chose. So let's kind of talk about that a little bit. Just player choice and the consequences of your choices as you play through the Outer Worlds.
Absolutely. I mean, a big thing with Obsidian games is generally the types of choices and the types of conflicts that we give you are rarely binary good or bad. They're always have you know different repercussions, and even who might look on the surface as the good guy, it really is a matter of perspective. A good example of that is maybe even in a quest that you were looking at in the early game. I watch people play the game all the time, and I see people play test, and I've seen people go through some early quests where it's obvious to them, oh, this is who I'm going to side with. These people are obviously the good guys in this situation. And as they go through a few different quests, they'll start having their companion start bantering with them saying like, hey, do you know if you make this choice, this is going to affect maybe more than you think. And it really makes you kind of stop and think like, oh, wow, I thought that was a good option. And now I'm not really sure. And so if we're able to get the player to have a heart, like have to stop and figure out, oh crap, I don't really know what I want to do here. Like that's what we want. We really want you to be able to have to like deliberate.
I was
going to
say that because I was stuck. I was like, man, what should I do? Like, but that's the thing. Based on my choices, is that going to also affect like when I go to other places and meet other new people? Are they going to look at me differently? Is that also going to help me out to unlock new quests because based on my choices? Or
you'll be encountering many different factions throughout the game that kind of all have their own goals and their own perspective on life, and these choices that you're making are gonna affect both your reputations with them, and you know, you may even need to come back to some of these people, and depending on how you treated them or what you did for them the first time around, might change what your outlook on them is later on in the game as well. Mm-hmm. We try to have, you know, both short-term, mid, and long-term repercussions for all of our major choices in the game, because we really want that to kind of ripple throughout.
what happened to me earlier, I'm not going to talk about the quest or anything, but
sure.
I met somebody and we were just having a conversation, and by mistake, I shoot the person and they started attacking me. Yeah. I was like, oh man, I messed up. So that's what I was trying to tell you, Paris. Like, oh man, I messed up. I don't know if this was a good idea now. So yeah, I just want to mention that real quick.
Yeah, I mean, even for that, the game will account for that. And if you want to go on a rampage, like you can totally do that and see where is this going to go. And it should be able to kind of respond to you and play out in a different way. So even in those, when you're like, oh geez, I messed up or I failed, it's not really a failure. It's just a choice. It's another one of those choices that you can make. And if you want to go ahead and try and, you know, go ahead and go in that path, hey, go for it.
So when we were done first session, I looked at Paris like, oh, so how, like we had like different experiences. So that was pretty cool. Everybody's going to have their own unique story, right? So that's cool.
Very cool.
So when I see, because it's killing me, because I want to talk more, but in the depth with the perks and stuff. So that's all my notes.
Oh, but I'm so sorry.
No, all good, all
keep
good.
All those
so,
notes, so we're gonna get back to it.
So one thing that I do want to bring up, and I hope I say this correctly, is tactical time dilation.
Yep, tactical time dilation.
TTD. Yeah. So talk about that.
Yeah. So this is actually a side effect from you being in hibernation for so long and being revived from it. Somehow the chemicals reacted with you in a way that actually makes it so you can perceive time slower than it is really going. And so this actually gives you more tactical advantages in combat. You can go ahead and like upgrade this over time, make this longer, make it regenerate. And what it allows you to do is, you'll be able to slow down time. You'll be able to kind of pinpoint parts of your enemies, which may even expose weaknesses for them. You'll even get like little funny blurbs about the different enemies that you're hovering over. Is kind of, you know, shows like I don't know, a creature that can't scratch an itch on his body or something. Just silly little things that describe kind of the characters. But you also get tactical advantages in terms of like, okay, what do I do if I cripple a limb or something like that, that kind of lets you slow down things. It also, you know, helps people where maybe some people aren't as versed in like first person shooters, right? And we want to cater towards those types of audiences, where role playing is really what we're going for. And this gives, other people even advantages in terms of combat and getting through those tactically instead of just kind of twitch based. You know?
You'd almost call it a VAT system, maybe. But another thing I want to get to, again, I don't know how much you can go in depth on this.
Sure.
I saw that there were weapon mods potentially in there, but what about crafting as far as weapons and armor and things of that nature? How in depth is that going to be?
So we don't do a full crafting system in this game, but we do let you you know, modify and upgrade both your armor and your weapons. You can go ahead and equip all of your companions if you'd like. You can give them additional perks and set things like, oh, I want them to be in range combat or close combat, things like that. And then you can go ahead and apply mods to, say, like your weapons. Different ones will have slots where you can go ahead and put like, oh, a scope where you have better range on a weapon, or you can change the damage type and make something, you know, like shock, so it will do better against different auto mechanicals and things like that. So we allow that kind of flexibility where you can go ahead and modify those things over time, find new weapons and kind of upgrade them as well. So
now we briefly kind of touched on companions lightly during the conversation, but just more information on that. How important is are companions going to be in the game, and will just be humans, or will there be robots, dog, anything that you could potentially give us that you shouldn't be giving us right now?
So I mean, we've touched on a few companions. We definitely still have a few that we haven't unveiled yet, and I'm excited to unveil them when we can. But I mean, companions are going to be as important as you'd like them to be in your story. And we talked about how you don't have to take them at all, and you can even spec out your character to be like a lone wolf type person. But if you do take them, they become integral. They paint perspectives for you of the story and the characters in the world. When you take them back to your own playership, you'll see them bantering back and forth. You'll see them interacting with each other, depending on which two you take at any time. So you'll be able to take two of them. The other crew members will go back to your ship. But depending on the two that you take,
they might have a relationship in terms of like bantering back and forth and talking about their viewpoints on the world. So they really do add a lot of flavor and add a lot of texture to both your play experience and your understanding of the world as a whole.
And I think it's also important to have conversation with them.
Yeah.
It will unlock also new quests. So I started doing that right away. So,
yep,
but I noticed I was walking and they went and had a conversation with me. They were like, hey, can we talk for a second? Like while we were going to like on a mission and stuff. Mm-hmm, so we're going to see a lot of that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe one of the characters that you had with you was Nioka.
Mm-hmm.
And she's actually like a native of Monarch, the planet that you guys may have seen.
Mm-hmm.
And she can offer kind of services as being like a guide, and she'll be able to kind of tell you a little bit about the land and help you navigate it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we want our characters to be bantering back and forth and kind of helping you understand things if you want them.
One thing that got my attention about the game is very colorful. Why sure. go into that route?
Well, I mean, we want the game to look good, right?
Yeah, like, no, it looks not dark. It looks really good. It's very colorful. Like I get like a different vibe when I play the game, you know, compared to like the previous.
Sure. I mean, thankfully the setting that we picked, where we go to the edge of the galaxy, a completely new place that you've never seen before, gives us a lot to play around with, you know, in terms of, man, how did these different planets form? Like, what did terraforming actually do to these different environments? How did that manifest on both the native wildlife and the people? What have they done to these lands to modify it and make it their own, right? And so that can manifest in a lot of different ways and gave us a lot of kind of really cool things to play around with in terms of defining that visual language.
All right. Final question. So I'm going to try and pack as much as I can into this final one. So just to wrap it up then, just to say, I mean, so far what I've played has been fantastic.
Awesome.
Like I said, I'll probably tempt divorce with the amount of hours that I'll put into this game, because I love these kind of games. I really do.
Very cool.
These are my kind of games. I love the fact that you'll be able to go in. You want to be the hero, be the hero. You want to be the villain, be the villain. You want to be neutral, be neutral. Play it the way you want. Design your character the way you want. So I'm super excited for it. And we're playing on PC now, so I know it's on PC, Xbox, PlayStation 4.
Yeah, the game's coming out October 25th,
yeah.
And it'll be on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation and PS4. So.
Okay, awesome.
I'm just excited. It's also available on Game Pass, too, so I'm very excited about that, too.
Day one on Game Pass, too.
Yeah, awesome. Well, you know what, Mike? Very quick. How was the reaction? When people got to see the trailer during E3.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of people were excited too when they were like, wow, this is pretty cool, right? You guys were there?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was there. You know, it's always exciting, especially when you've been working on something for a couple of years and you're not really sure how are people going to take this? Like, what is the landscape right now? Do people want this thing that we've been building?
Yeah.
You know, because we make our style of games and we hope that people want it. And it was pretty awesome to see that people had been clamoring for this. They've been really excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been really heartening for us.
Well, I just want to say thank you for taking your time to talk
Absolutely.
To us. And
thank
it was a lot
guys.
Of fun. I'm enjoying the game big time. So
very cool.
Wait. Awesome.
Right. Take
Thanks
care,
a lot,
guys.
Man.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, Paris, interview, man. I think it was a great conversation,
man.
Oh, it was
hilarious. I love it. It was a good, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, man, before we wrap it up?
I mean, you know, these are my kind of games. I love these kind of games. Like I mentioned, obviously, Fallout New Vegas, since Obsidian made it, I mean, is a game I've put hundreds of hours into. Skyrim, you know, Fallout, the original Fallout 4, things like that. So, or not Fallout 4, Fallout 3, I should say, not Fallout 4. I'm excited for it. I just like being able to go into this world, you create your character, you spec them out the way you want, make the decisions you want, just explore and just have fun with it, man.
Yeah, and we were having this conversation earlier, I think right after the game session finished that we were eating, and I was like, man, a lot of companies, they don't do that anymore, like the whole single player experience, because I think a lot of companies just got caught up with multiplayer services and I'm happy that Obsidian is coming out with a game like this, man. You know, it's perfect for me. That's my type of game, man.
Yep.
Single player experience, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
So that's it. All right, everybody go to GamerTagRadio.com. And Paris is also going to have the video version which is the gameplay footage.
Yeah,
right?
I'll definitely have some gameplay footage up on the YouTube channel. Might flip the interview over there as well with some gameplay. But yeah, you'll definitely get to see gameplay in action. And I kind of went back and forth between using the Xbox controller and mouse and keyboard. I guess I didn't talk about that. But yeah, everything felt good.
Cool.
You know, between the controller and mouse keyboard. So, you know, it's still preview. Things could change. But, you know, I'm sure once we get to October and we start getting the reviews, we'll have more information about it then.
Definitely. All right. So, yeah, just follow us on Twitter, Facebook. We're everywhere. Follow us also on any podcast app. Actually, we're ready. Finally, iHeartRadio decided to put our podcast back on their website. So make sure to check it out there, man. So that's it. Shout out to everybody that invited us over here, and anything else, that's it, right?
That's it.
It was a lot of fun, man. So hope you enjoy this interview and hands-on impressions. And until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.